On that, we will move on and move away and get our guests ready, and who is ready and waiting for us on the line on the show today. I am delighted to say a man who we always enjoy having a good chinwag with about US men's national team football and Major League Soccer as well. He is from ESPN. He is the great, the one and only Mr. Jeff Carlisle joining us on the show today. Jeff, man, how are you today? It's a pleasure to have you back on World Football Daily once again.
Hey, it's great to be back. I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It must be quite nice going into this international break, being able to put your feet up and not worry about the US men's national team, really.
Hey, there's still lots of the stories to cover. we'll see who gets on the field Friday, and then for the Jamaica game, and then again for the Panama game. There's some injuries, obviously with Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey, and now Omar Gonzalez is ruled out as well. So there's always some interesting storylines with the U.S. national team, and it's definitely an opportunity for some of the nominal reserves, if you will, to get a chance to show their wares and try to make sure they're on the flight to Brazil.
But Jeff, I mean, it is nice to have these problems at this time. I mean, without anything really relying on the on World Cup qualification to lose these three big stars, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice position to be in, and certainly you compare that to the plight of Mexico, who are just in an unbelievably tense situation, fighting for their World Cup lives, in that game against Panama, against Panama this Friday. So, it's just shocking to see them in that situation. But I mean, this is pretty much status quo for the U.S. It seems like the last few cycles they've managed to wrap things up with a game or two to go. I think the team has come an incredibly long way, since that game against Honduras that began the qualifying process, and all sorts of doubts that day about the center of defense and how they would, fare the rest of the way. But, guys like Matt Beisler have really stepped up, and even a guy like Clarence Goodson has managed to get himself back in the frame. And now on Friday, it looks like Jeff Cameron is going to be able to play in what I think is his best position, probably on the U.S. national team as a center back. So, lots of personnel decisions to be made, especially with Dempsey out. I think that's really interesting. I see Landon Donovan probably sliding into the middle, but it could be an opportunity for a guy like Mix Discarude to get some more time with the full, first team in a very important position, in that second striker role behind Jose Altidore. So, lots of questions heading into this game, but all good questions and good situation for Jurgen Klinsmann.
And obviously, you mentioned there the odd off start, if you will, that the U.S. men's national team had, and Jurgen Klinsmann was facing all those questions about the chemistry in the camp, and when that story was leaked about players being disgruntled and frustrated within the camp. I mean, have you seen this U.S. men's national team grow, and how much have they grown in this short period of time of this hexagonal round compared to the rest of the time under Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yeah, I think they have grown. I think it was interesting the progression that Jurgen Klinsmann went through. I mean, he came on board with these grandiose claims of, hey, we're going to, take it to the opposition, and we're going to possess the ball in the attacking third, and we're going to do all these great things. And there have been some subtle changes. You do see the U.S. pressing a little bit more in the opposition half, but I think there have also been moments where some old-fashioned U.S. pragmatism has taken over, and I think that was a little bit of a shift on Klinsmann's part, to realize, this is the team that I have. It's not necessarily the team that I want. I mean, everyone wants to play like Barcelona, but this is the team that he has, and I think that inspired a little bit of confidence in the players. To kind of give them objectives and goals. Hey, we can do this. Yeah, we want to be pushed, and we want to play for bigger clubs and do great things in the World Cup, but. It has to be an evolution and not a revolution. And I think in the beginning, Klinsmann was promising revolution, and it just, I don't think you can rush these things. These things take time. And, I think you've definitely seen in the last 6 months an identity start to emerge for this team. This team knows what it's about now. And the results have shown just how much the team has improved.
With the big three, Bradley, Dempsey, and Omar out for these coming games, is this something these players that you think Klinsmann may well have left out for at least one of these games each in order to try and test things to see which players can step in a competitive game in his full squad anyway. Do you think this would have been something that might have happened despite the injuries?
You know, I don't think so. Just to hear his comments, how he wants to finish qualifying strong. He's also made some comments that, the U.S. does not have that many games, before next summer rolls around, at least with the full team. Certainly there'll be, a January camp, with some MLS folks and maybe some guys playing in Scandinavia. But, every one of these games is an opportunity to establish more cohesion on the field. And so from that standpoint, I think he's a little disappointed not to have Omar Gonzalez in there, because certainly him getting more repetitions with Matt Beisler is very important. Certainly Michael Bradley and Jermaine Jones continuing to develop their partnership is another important aspect for the team. Maybe in the case of Dempsey, maybe he tries a few more things. But certainly to read the tea leaves, I think Klinsmann wanted to keep things as consistent as possible. But, these injuries are forcing him to tweak things a little bit.
Which is the bigger loss, do you think, out of the three, with the back four so heavily criticised over the last 12 months, Michael Bradley being pipped as possibly the next great captain in the heart of the midfield, and obviously Clint Dempsey, that iconic leader of this side at the moment?
I think Bradley is the biggest loss, just because of his ability to not only to contribute to the attack and to to help shield that back line, but just his leadership on the field. I think you saw in that game against Costa Rica, just how important he is to the team. Granted, those were incredible circumstances. Obviously, he injures his ankle in the warm up, and it's a bit of a shock to the team to think that he's going to be on the field and then to all of a sudden be without him. But I think he is the heartbeat of that squad. He's just the leadership, his presence, his ability to play under pressure. That's always there. I can't remember the last time that he had a bad game. And you can't say that about, too many other players in the squad. And, granted, these guys are human. They're not robots. So, occasionally they're going to throw up a bad match here and there. But, Bradley has just been so consistent. He contributes in so many ways. So for me, he's definitely the biggest loss.
Who comes in to fill Bradley's role then to start with with this midfield? Who obviously there's a little bit more time as opposed to when Bradley was injured during the warm-ups in the Costa Rica game. So who comes in for Bradley in this in the first game this week?
I think it'll be Kyle Beckerman. Certainly there have been some questions about his ability or the extent to which he could contribute, with the starting 11 as opposed to, say, a Gold Cup squad. But, I think he played so well in the Mexico game, just solid, stayed within himself, made the simple play, really did some great defensive work, when the U.S. didn't have the ball. And, Jurgen Klinsmann is a guy who wants to reward performances like that. So, for me, I think it's going to be Beckerman in there. We could see Sasha Kljestan. Obviously he's flown over from Europe and come a long way. So I expect to see him on the field alongside one of Jones or Beckerman at some point. I see him coming off the bench. Who knows, maybe in the last game against Panama away, maybe that's where he gets another chance to shine. But I think it will be Kyle Beckerman starting alongside Jones. That's a partnership that seems to make the most sense and again worked quite well against Mexico.
What about this back four? I mean, we talked about kind of the evolution of Klinsmann, the way this side has changed since the start of the hexagonal, and the back four in particular have gone from strength to strength. Are you sorted on this back four yet, Jeff? Do you think Klinsmann's sorted on the back four yet?
Yeah, I think it's still a little bit in flux. Certainly Beisler and Gonzalez have delivered some good performances, over the course of qualifying. But, I think Gonzalez's form is a little worrying these days. You look at some of his play in MLS in the CONCACAF Champions League, and, he's made some high-profile mistakes. It seems like every time you're ready to say, okay, he's growing, he's turned the corner, this position is his, then he'll make another, high-profile mistake, and then you kind of cock your head and think, maybe he's not quite ready. Maybe this is a chance for some other guys to get in there. And then you look at a guy like Clarence Goodson, who I think has been pretty consistent and has basically answered the bell every time he was called upon. And yet it's clear that Jurgen Klinsmann has got some options. And then on this occasion, it seems to me that Jeff Cameron is the guy that's going to have to step in, just given the current makeup of this roster, because Goodson is still, with the San Jose Earthquakes, they've got a huge game tonight against Colorado, and Goodson has been carrying a bit of an injury as well. So, it's another chance for Jeff Cameron to get Klinsmann's attention and try to make one position his own. It's been tough on Cameron because obviously he's been moved around. He's played right back. He's played in the center midfield. Mm. Now he's going to play in the center of defense, and it's always kind of a blessing and a curse for a player like that. He'll be in the squad. I mean, I think a guy like Cameron is guaranteed to be on that plane to Brazil, but it's certainly tough on him and a little bit frustrating for him to not really nail down a starting spot and say, hey, this position is mine. So again, I just to get back to your original question, I think the center back pairing is still a little up in the air. I think Beisler is probably got the strongest case to be made at this point of being in the starting lineup. And I think Gonzalez has done good things for the most part, but I think he needs to do a little bit more to really wrap it up.
Just finally on the US men's national team, Jeff, because we've covered pretty much every area of the pitch apart from that front line. With Altidor being a wonderful goal scorer for the US men's national team, Donovan being such a key figurehead in US soccer in general, and Eddie Johnson, who's just been absolutely stellar in the last few weeks with the Seattle Sounders, and you've even got the emergence of Aaron Johansson down at AZ. Is there still more question marks in this U.S. men's national team squad about this starting attack for the U.S. men's national team? Or is it going to be Josie and LD with EJ playing that kind of in-and-out sparse role, if you will?
Well, I think for this game, Klinsmann's got a lot of options. I think Donovan kind of fits the Dempsey mold the best. I mean, granted, no two players are alike. But I think Donovan has spent a lot of time kind of in that support striker role, whether it was with the LA Galaxy or even during the Gold Cup. He was partnering Eddie Johnson quite a bit. But I think on this team, ultimately, he's going to be playing on the left side of midfield. So at that point, what do you do? Do you kind of bring in Diskerud, who's kind of a crafty, creative player, or do you say, hey, we're definitely going with two dedicated strikers? With Altidor and Johansson, or maybe Altidor and Eddie Johnson. Those things have been tried, throughout Klinsmann's tenure. I mean, you look at the Bosnia game, and, that revival began with Altidor and Eddie Johnson finally moving up top in the second half, and that's when the goals started to flow. So it's definitely still in flux. I think ultimately it's going to be Donovan on the left. Altidor is the dedicated striker, and then Dempsey is that kind of hybrid. I mean, people call it a 4-5-1, but you look at the form that Altidore has enjoyed over the summer months, and that was largely due to the fact that Dempsey started to get closer to him, started to provide him with a little bit more support instead of dropping into midfield all the time. So for me, I think it has been more of a 4-4-2. I mean, granted, attacking formations are always very fluid, so it can be hard to pin down at times, but I think those three guys are definitely on the field, and then we'll see who ends up winning out on the right side of midfield, whether it's a Graham Zusi or an Ali Bedoya or even someone else stepping into the frame.
Just very quickly on Major League Soccer then, Jeff, just before we let you get back to the news desk. Great chance for Seattle to book themselves into the playoffs this week, and opportunities for host sides to nail down these playoff spots going into the end of the season. Are you surprised that the LA Galaxy have maybe seemed a little nervous in asking for an early recall of Landon Donovan, considering their spot in the league table at the moment with that 4-point gap away from San Jose in sixth?
I'm not really surprised at all. I think perhaps they didn't expect to be in this position where, a playoff spot was still, a little bit up in the air at this point in the season. I think they thought they would have it nailed down much sooner. Certainly, I think what you're seeing is an LA side that hasn't been as deep as in years past, especially with Mike McGee now in Chicago and, Robbie Rogers being injured. I mean, at least in the short term, that trade has not worked out well at all for LA. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really surprised to see them, after that early release. They need those players, and certainly they don't want to run into a situation where, they're one of the lower seeded teams entering the playoffs. I mean, granted, the format, it doesn't give the higher seed that much of an advantage, but certainly if they make it all the way to MLS Cup, as they have the past couple of years, then that could become a factor. So I think it's just a case of them trying to maximize their position in the table and then not leave things to chance or not leave it until the last couple weeks of the season to nail down that playoff spot. So it doesn't surprise me.
And Jeff, a shock at all really that we've only got at this point in the season just a one team with their place firmly booked in the playoffs at this moment in time. I mean, it's so tight across the board in general in Major League Soccer this year.
Yeah, it's incredible. Parity has been, a facet of the league since its very beginning, but I think this year we've got parity on steroids. A couple of weeks ago I thought, hey, Seattle's got the supporter shield locked up, and now they've had a few stumbles, and they've been brought back to the pack a little bit. I still think they control things, but it's not quite the done deal that I perhaps thought it was. And then you've got New York in there, and now it looks like Kansas City. They're certainly in control of their destiny a little bit, although they got a tough road game against Houston tonight. So they're back into it. And then you got Real Salt Lake, who are, definitely dealing with, any U.S. Open Cup hangover. And, then they tie at home against Dallas. So it's as tight as it has ever been, I think, one through eight. I mean, it's just amazing how two, three game runs can totally change a team's fortunes. You've got Montreal sliding down, Kansas City moving up, Colorado really, really starting to come on a bit. So, I think the league is as tight as it's ever been.
Yeah, 1 through 8, 9 and 10 in the East and West. Not great spots to be in, way off the playoffs on that one. Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us today on World Football Daily, mate. We always enjoy having a chat with you about the US Men's National Team and MLS. And we look forward to you enjoying a very relaxed and slightly less heart-pounding weekend of international football coming up, mate.
Absolutely. Hey, I'll come back anytime.
Fantastic, man. We will hold you to it. But in the meantime, take care, man, and we will catch you on very soon indeed.
Will do.
Cheers, mate. Jeff Carlisle there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things US Men's National Team and Major League Soccer as the race for the playoffs gets down to the final few weeks of the season. And in Major League Soccer, here are...